Hello? Good morning. Okay. Hey, this is live. I want to welcome everyone who has been so stalwart and dedicated to get up after being up late last night at IAB's Idol, and here we all are bright and bushy-tailed at 7 in the morning for this breakfast. We've got a couple of people who are going to speak to you today to kind of kick off this day, and I want to start out with our President Patty Gregory Chang, who will come and kind of give you a little preview of what to expect today and why we're here and why we have this called a parents' breakfast. It's obviously open to everybody, but it's particularly focused on parents and what we hope that parents will gain from convention and from the organization. Just have a couple quick questions. Mindy Jacobson, are you here?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to be sure. Chris Mankowski, are you in the room? Okay. Patty, would you like to come up and
I'm here.
Talk to us?
I'm Thank here. You. I just borrowed the other mic.
Okay.
I really want to diverge from what Debbie said for a minute and talk to you guys about how much Debbie does with respect to the parents. For years, she's been incredibly active, spending time at IEPs, spending time advocating, spending time just talking to parents, especially parents who call us who have newly blinded or newborns who are blind children. You know, she does this all the time tirelessly. We couldn't do what we do at these conventions anymore without having the parents activity. You guys have become an integral part of our convention in so many ways. Debbie is really key to all of that. So can we just give her a hand? Because she won't do it for herself. You're welcome.
Very sweet.
You know, we need to recognize the people who don't always recognize themselves. We are mostly about reducing blindness to a nuisance through the use of adaptive techniques, advocacy, and independence. And that means not just talking to the public, but it also means educating ourselves. That's a large part of what the convention does. This part of what we do isn't necessarily about going out and teaching the public that it's okay to be blind. It's teaching ourselves that it's respectable to be blind. Today we will have lots of different speakers. You'll hear from speakers who are part of our Teachers of Tomorrow program. You'll hear from our national representative, who is Carl Jacobson. I assume he's in the room. You'll hear from a couple of congressmen, congresswomen, and congresspeople. I don't know how to say that. Anyway, Dan Kitowski is coming and Jan Schakowsky is coming. we do that because some of what we gain is through legislation, some of what we gain is through litigation, and some of it's just plain education. We will have the vendors who are really big part of this convention for the first time. We've always had some vendors. We have a lot of vendors this time around. In fact, I think that's why our pre-registration number is at 139 already.
Wow.
Yeah, we've never had that many pre-registered since I remember. I think we might hit 150 for registration for this convention. We are, as far as I can tell, at 143 right now, and I don't think I've registered yet. Francisco is going to take care of that for me at 8 o'clock, he says. We will have a student lunch and a parent lunch. You're welcome to go to either one. The student lunch will be in this room. The parent lunch will be in the other room. General sessions will be in this room at 9 o'clock. The vendors will be on a panel this afternoon. There will also be an employment panel, and you'll hear from our very own Carrie Cipolla, who was born and raised in Illinois and then moved away, like a lot of people do, and then came back. So he's a professor at Illinois State University. Please feel free to ask any and all questions you want. Some of you are familiar faces. I see some brand new faces out there, and I'm sure Debbie will take time to introduce everybody at some point. But welcome. And make yourselves at home. Get to know people. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Let's go around quickly and just table by table, let's find out who's here. Just, you know, say your name and maybe 10 words about who you are so that we can do it quickly. Do we have one? Okay, we'll pass around a portable mic because we're being streamed live for folks who can't get here. So above and beyond the audience in this room, there are lots of people out there in radio land listening, and we don't know who they are.
There we go. Hello.
Okay.
Very sounds nice. Good. Deb, where do you want to start?
How about the my left, the upper right-hand part of the
upper right-hand corner, and your left.
Work our way around.
I can't do left and right
today.
There you
today. Go. Yeah.
Over here.
I'm Karen Kronk. I'm a parent of a blind child, Gabriel, from Southern Illinois.
Oh, nice to meet you. Before you go, I want to make sure that we get your contact information, because I don't know you, and I'm so glad you're here.
I'm Sherry Gregson, Gabriel Gregson's mom, and this is our first time here.
Welcome. Yeah.
He's still eating breakfast.
Okay. And he's not supposed to talk with a mouthful, so...
I am Michael Pickerel, and I'm really excited to do my speech, and I'm from Mount Olive, Illinois.
Welcome.
And I'm Tammy Pickerel, his mother. Yes, we're glad
we know
to be
you,
back.
And we're so happy you're
yes.
here.
Yes.
Oh, Gabriel. Okay. Hi, Gabriel. Hello.
I'm Gabriel Gregson. Of Troy, Illinois, two dogs, and
okay.
I'm very good friends with Michael Pickerel, and I'm just glad to be here.
Glad you're here.
Just came back from space camp, too.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice to have you here. I'm move back one, Deb. You want me to just work
way
around?
Yeah, just work your way around. Thanks.
Is that Carol? Give me that back.
We'll do it quick. Exactly. We'll do it quick. I'm Carl Jacobson. President Kennedy one time said, I'm the fellow who accompanied Mindy Jacobson to Chicago and to Idol last night. I think you'll hear from me a little later, so I'm going to pass this mic on.
I'm Mindy Jacobson, the other half. Actually, I'm accompanying Carl, who is our national rep.
And you'll get to hear from Mindy in a few minutes.
I'm Sean Mayo, and I grew up in Belleville, Illinois, and I now work in Minneapolis at our NFB Training Center, Blind Incorporated. And we have some really fun and progressive programs for children ages 9 to 14 and teenagers and college students and adults, and you'll hear more about that later. Yeah, this afternoon you'll hear more about that later. Thank you.
Good morning.
Oh.
Good morning. I'm Ryan Perry. I'm a scholarship winner, and I want to hear more about space camp.
Good morning. I'm Denise Avant. I'm a member of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois Board of Directors, as well as the first vice president of the Chicago chapter.
Hello, I'm Bill Reif. I'm from Springfield. I'm president of our Ferris Wheel chapter in Springfield. I'm also on the board of directors of the affiliate, and I've actually been involved in the affiliate long before I was part of the vending program, business enterprise program that you'll be hearing more about later in this convention.
Bill's a reformed attorney. He left the ranks.
Hi, I'm Debbie Pittman from Chicago. I'm a board member of the Chicago chapter and the secretary of the state board.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Kathy Randall, and I have been involved in the NFB of Illinois since the early 1980s. I currently do a lot of fundraising for the affiliate. I'm past affiliate president and past president of the Ferris Wheel chapter, and I just love to do whatever needs to be done, and I'm always glad to try and help out wherever I can. Thank you.
All of you scholarship winners and convention scholarship winners need to thank that lady. She brings in the grant money. Seriously, is anybody back at this one? Anybody at this table? All right.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Gaia Iacarino. I'm from the Quad Cities, and this is my first convention.
Hi, I'm Brianna Lilliman. I'm from Champaign, but going to school at Loyola University Chicago, and I'm glad to be here again.
Hey, everyone. My name is Katie Lenham. I am from Rochester, Illinois, and going to school in Carbondale, and this is my fourth convention, and love it every year.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Adrian Rodriguez. I'm from Naperville, Illinois, and currently attending Samford University. And this is my first convention as well.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Anthony Overheiser. I'm from Plainfield, Illinois, and I'm going to Loyola. And thank you so much, Kathy.
Now, I don't know if you all realize that, but that puts all seven of our people who are scholarship winners and our alternate in a row. So I'm glad you're all bonding that well. And by the way, Gaia, the sensei yesterday says you need to call him because he thinks you can be a Paralympian. You're very, very, he said you're physically able and much younger than I am. His words, not mine.
And Gaia also won Best in Show at the IABS Idol last night. So deserves a hand.
My name is Jesse Hughes. I'm from Markham, Illinois, and I'm a first-time visitor for the convention.
First-timer. All right. Welcome. Hilda Sandifer. I'm from Chicago, first-time conventioner.
All right, Hilda.
Do I have fans?
Yeah, you do.
Thank you.
My name is Everett Davis, and I'm born and raised in Southern Illinois. I'm living in Oak Park at this time, and this is my first convention, and I'm one of the managers at Ikrie Wood, Illinois Center for Rehab and Education.
Okay. Well, thank welcome.
Hi, my name is Patricia Cheeks. And I'm a guest of Mr. Davis, and I'm from Oak Park, Illinois.
I'm Jake Mantinson. My wife and I have been involved with our two daughters in the NFB for about 4 years now. We just moved out here from Pennsylvania. Looking forward to meeting everyone.
Hi. Hi, my name is Sydney.
And I'm Soraya Mattinson, Jake's wife, and as he just introduced us.
I'm Rob Kaiser, born and raised Chicagoan, but been in Southern California the last 20 years. I was president of the Orange County chapter, but now I'm back to the scene of the crime, so to speak.
Wow.
Yeah, we lose a lot.
Now, did you all catch the Mattinsons have their daughter here, and she said hi in between them real, real low.
Yeah.
Darling children.
Sydney Mattinson.
Good morning, Sydney.
My name is Zach Carr. I am the NFB National Writers Contest winner.
And we'll hear more from Zach in a few minutes.
And I'm Zach Carr's mom, Dana.
Welcome, Dana. That's Dana's first time at convention. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else at that table? Oh, excuse me. Okay.
Everybody
now,
talks.
Dana, then tell me who's here. No fair. We're blind folks. You don't get to play. I'm not here. No possum here. Bobby, how are you? He does talk. All right. Go Cardinals. You got big time fans here. Okay. And your fiance is?
Todd.
Todd, okay. Where are you? You do exist. This is good. Anybody else? Ex-husband, girlfriend, Carrie. I love that one.
Yeah.
I love that one. See what happens when you don't introduce yourself? You walked right into that, people. We love you. It's first time here, and I'm going to pick on you now. Hey, my mom and dad are divorced, and they live right across the street from each other. Long story. Okay, did I get everybody at this table? Now I'm done picking on you. All right, nobody back here. I'm working my way there. Nobody there. All right. So let's do you guys.
I'm Francisco. I will be helping to take care of kids camp today. So if there's any issues, please see me.
Blair Alper, Leanne's boyfriend, sound and technical committee, former Chicago resident, and currently residing in Iowa.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Leanne Main. I first joined the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois in 1971. Hmm. My first state convention was in Rockford, Illinois, and my first national was 1972 in Chicago.
Hmm. Ryan Kwok, NFBI Sound and Technical Committee. Currently residing in Oak Lawn, soon to be from Berwyn.
Tony Olivero, also helping with sound. I'm not originally from Illinois, but I'm from just north of Illinois. Mm-hmm. Go Badgers. And currently in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. My name is Karen Anderson. I am from Lincoln, Nebraska, which is why I'm having some issues here with the person to my left. Mm-hmm. I am thrilled to be here as a representative of the National Association of Blind Students, which is the student division of the National Federation of the Blind. I'll be speaking at the student luncheon later, so I hope that some of you parents will come and find out what the student division is all about, because it's really important for you and your kids.
And I think we have one more table right here.
Steve Hestalis, a charter member of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois, going back to August of 1968. I now serve as Chicago chapter treasurer. I'm retired from the Chicago Transit Authority, and if anybody wants to know anything about how blind people travel, I have a passion in such things, and anything to do with trains and buses, and anything to do with musical stuff, too. Some of you heard me play last night at IAB's Idol. Thanks.
Passion is an understatement. But Steve is the one that I call when I have to go run an inspection in a neighborhood that I don't know.
It's like, don't ask Siri, ask Steve.
Hello, my name is Ken Staley. I've been a member of the chapter in Chicago for 30 years. And go Giants.
I'm David Meyer. I'm Chicago chapter president, and I believe that our state president and I are the only two in the room who have the dubious distinction of actually coming to Illinois from elsewhere.
No, I'm a third.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Good morning, everyone. I'm Meg Dowell, and I have already had way too much coffee. So thank you to our hotel staff for feeding my caffeine addiction. I blame all of it Nazarene University, because if I've learned nothing in my college education so far, it's that coffee is my friend. I am a second-year scholarship winner, and the reason I'm not sitting with everyone else is because I am hanging with my mentor. It's great. I'm really glad to be here, and I'm glad that you have given me the pleasure of coming back.
Glad to have you. Is that everybody?
Not quite. Oh. Hi, I'm Leslie Hamrick. I'm president of the Illinois at-large chapter, and this is my third state convention. And I just have a grand time every time I come to these conventions. It's a new experience and a very inspiring one. So go NFBI.
And winner of IFIO chapter.
Yeah, we won at large one for IF Zidal last night.
3 years in a row. It's a three-peat.
Do you wonder why NFBI board stops trying? We were pathetic last night, but it was funny. We were very entertaining. Yeah. I think that's everybody. Did I miss anybody?
All right. Okay, well, welcome everyone. Mindy, would you come up? Mindy, I've asked Mindy Jacobson to talk a little bit to kind of kick off this set of talks. Talk about what it was like for her growing up as a blind child, and some of the kinds of things that her parents did that really helped her to become active, independent, and assertive, as she definitely is, all of those things, and much more. So Mindy, if you'd come up here, there's a microphone off to my right, your left. Up this way. I won't talk in the mic so that you can find out where I am, and then around past me to the right. Or, well, you could just take this one. Here. Okay, got that? Okay.
I do. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, fellow Federationists. It's a pleasure to be here. And you know what's really cool? Debbie asked me to talk about something that doesn't need any research. Isn't that exciting? Oh, I didn't even have to. What I'm going to talk to you about, though, is self-advocacy, because I think that the thing that my parents gave me more than anything else and first and foremost was the ability to be my own advocate. It was done by example for the most part, and the great thing that they did for me was to let me be a kid. I had too much oxygen in the incubator. At the time, we called it retrolental fibroplasia, and every kid who had it learned that word. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But now we say something much simpler. We say retinopathy of prematurity. I guess people actually understand that one. But when you have gone all your life saying retrolental fibroplasia, I'm telling you, take pride in it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, and we also understand that we could mix up ROP with RP, and that's a whole different ball of wax. But the great thing that happened for me was that My parents decided that I was going to be like every other kid on the block. And so when things like walking across the swing set upset my grandmother and my mom's best friend, who were watching out the window with her, and they yelled at her, apparently. I was very, very, very young. I couldn't have been more than three, four maybe. So I don't remember it. But they yelled at her, apparently, gave her a whole lot of trouble about it, and she just calmly said, it's all right. It's okay. She'll be all right. And so I had the opportunity to do that. And I remember they told me that when I sat down on the top of it, and they almost died because, you know, they couldn't imagine that I was going to just take a break. Got back up, walked across, and came down. So that's what everybody does, right? That's what your children do. When I rode a tricycle, I got skinned up like every other kid. How many times did I fall? And my knees and hands got skinned. But they're all right. My hands and knees are just fine now. And they were a few days after I skinned them, too. So I was like every other kid. I got a chance to skate and fell plenty of times that way, too, in the skating rink and on the sidewalks. I grew up in Florida, so it was always warm. And you could skate all year round. So I did. I played with the kids in the neighborhood. I had a little friend, and I remember that we decided one time that our parents hadn't let us have an Easter egg hunt, and we were pretty upset about that. So we had a giant mango tree in our yard, but by April, the mangoes are just about Easter egg size. So she got up in the tree, and I stayed down with her wagon and scooped up the mangoes that she shook down from the tree. We took care of that year's crop and hid them. And I had trouble sitting down for the next 3 days. But that's that. I had a friend in the neighborhood that I used to love to swing with, and we would swing together all the time and play in the yard. And she had a merry-go-round in her yard, and it was way cool. But she made the mistake one day. Oh, I should back up and just say, my parents used to always say to me, when I would come and tattle on somebody, I was still the only kid in the family, and they would say, you're going to have to fight your own battles. So this little kid said to me something like, you blindy. Didn't set well with me. I didn't like it. So I beat her up. What we have here is a budding little felon who grew up to be a clergyman, but somebody said not so surprising. I agree. But when I was a child, there were no blind children allowed in the Dade County Public Schools, and there were no protections for us either, so the school system was absolutely within its rights to disallow me to enter school there. So my parents got together with six other preschool parents, and they fought to get us into the school. But the thing was, they had to find a way to impress the school board, so they had me speak. I was a precocious little kid, so I was always wanting to talk. Nothing's changed. So I got up, and apparently there was a speech planned, but I stood up and asked the following question. I said, why do you think the parrot ate the can of baked beans? Because he wanted to be a thunderbird. I was four. But somehow we got into the schools anyway. And once we did, then the legal protections began to happen. But it wasn't all peaches and cream. We didn't just get into the schools and all was fine. When we first got in, the first year, my first grade, we weren't allowed to go to classes with the other children. So we had to have our own segregated room. By second grade, our parents had gotten that one taken care of also. But even still, they didn't know what to think of us, what we could and couldn't do, etc. So I wanted to be a teacher of tomorrow. About age 10, I decided that I wanted to teach. And that's something that has stayed with me all my life. But as every other child does, I went through 50,000 other things. So I wanted to be a teacher, but I wanted to be a nurse, but I wanted to teach nurses too. So I just always wanted to teach, but there was a program that allowed sixth graders to go into the rooms of the first grade classrooms when the classroom teacher took a break. So I was allowed to go. I was not allowed to go. I was prohibited. And so once again, my mother fought. But she also sent me to the principal's office where I sat down and talked to the principal myself. She was always teaching me to do these things, and I never knew when she was in the background and when she wasn't. But this one I did know. I knew that she was with me on it, but she just wanted me to go down and talk to the principal myself, so I did. Well, maybe a day or two later, I got the word that I would be allowed to be a future teacher. But the thing was, when I went into the classroom for my first day, I found that there were already two girls there, and it was only two girls per classroom. I was brought in as a third wheel, thank you very much, because I was blind. And I didn't like it. And the two girls were walking around and helping the children draw, and I thought to myself, this ain't gonna do. So I talked to my, what we would call today TVI, and she and I came up with a plan. And I began to work with the kids after the other two girls left. I just somehow took a long time to gather my things. And while I was gathering my things, I talked to the kids and started doing things with them while the classroom teacher came in and put her stuff down and started working on things. And it got to be that I would have the kids to myself for about 15 minutes a day. And then it got to be that she didn't bother coming back. So after the other two-sided kids left, I had the 32 first graders to myself, so I taught them a song. And then I learned choreography to it, and I taught them the choreography. When we presented it to the teacher, she liked it so well that she decided that we would do this as an assembly. So the whole school was gathered. I played the auto harp for them, and they sang and did their little choreography thing. And lo and behold, who was there? The people from the school board that I told the joke about the parrot and the can of baked beans and all. They probably liked this presentation a lot better. I even got a charm bracelet from them. But it was all, you know, what happened was my mother's ability to advocate became mine. And I watched her and I learned about it, and we didn't win every battle. When I was in high school and wanted to join up with people, I was able to sing with the Up With People local casts, which were called Sing Out America. And I got quite far in that organization, but the national cast would not let me travel. And it was because of my blindness. And we decided not to continue the fight on that one because there were so many other things going on in my life. I was a high school junior at the time, and there were just too many other things happening. So we just decided that that fight was not worth the time. But when I went to FSU, Florida State University, and they didn't want me to intern, as a music education major, you had to do an internship, but they didn't want me to do it because I was blind, and the lady before me who had been blind flunked out of her internship. that one didn't set very well. So I talked to the dean of the school, and I also spoke to my mother. One day she called me from the hotel that was near the school and said, "Hey, want to come over? I'm at the travel lodge." I was so shocked. I didn't know what she was doing there. So I went there, and she said, hey, I understand you talked to the dean about your internship. And I said, yeah, what are you doing here? She said, I was doing the same thing. I just had so much support from my parents. I even remember when, by the way, I was going to be 21. At that point, I had decided that I wanted to move to New York. I looked for an apartment. My father had come up. And I was not granted that apartment, the first apartment, because I was blind. And my first inclination was to fight it. And my father said to me, my father was in tears about it, because he said, I just can't believe this happens. But he said, you know what? It's not worth our while. There are thousands upon thousands of apartments in New York City. You'll get one. And I think that you should move on. We did, and I got one within a day or so. So he was right about that. But, you know, you win some, you lose some. In the end, I went to, we were lucky, because I think we won more than we lost, but in the end, I went to the school where people become cantors and rabbis. That was also a bit of a deal, but there were not other women. There were only three other women ahead of me, and I would become the first blind woman to be a cantor. And it was a bit of a struggle. There were times when it was hard, but some of you remember Dr. Jake Fried, and he worked with me, and he became an advocate for me. You'll remember he was a friend of Dr. Jernigan's, and so I was really lucky to have had all the assistance I did. They didn't even really want me to go up to the pulpit to get my to be ordained with my guide dog, but I did, as you can imagine. So let me leave you with three thoughts. First, let your child be a child. Don't worry about those skinned knees and broken arms. Unfortunately, we all break them, but when you're young, you can stand that. And two, you need to learn what constitutes a need for advocacy. Because sometimes we say things because we want to get out of doing something, or we want to do something that somebody won't let us do that is not sensible. But you know what? The great thing is that you have these wonderful people here in NFBI, and I'm telling you, use these people as a resource, because they will help you. They will help you to know what works and what doesn't. And my last thought is this, to paraphrase Sir Winston Churchill during the time of World War II, he said it, and it applies to us now. Give them the tools, and they will finish the job. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mindy.
Okay, the NFB very much adheres to the philosophy that Mindy just talked about, and we sponsor a number of programs, we meaning our local and our national organizations, to try to help kids gain all kinds of experiences that will help them feel confident, empowered, connected with successful blind people who can serve as role models. We've got a couple of young people today here who have taken part in some of these programs, and I would like to bring Michael Pickerel up to talk to you about Project Innovation, which is a really exciting program he took part in this past summer with his mom. Michael, could you come up to the front? Okay. Oh, and we don't. Okay, can he have the floating mic? Can you hold that for him? Okay, and he can read. Tell me when he's ready.
Testing.
Oh, wonderful. Excellent.
Good morning. My name is Michael Pickerel. I am 11 years old, and I love live in Mount Olive, Illinois. I am in the sixth grade at Mount Olive Grade School. My blindness is a result of septo-optic dysplasia. I applied and was selected as one of 30 students to attend Project Innovation. 20 junior innovators, age 7 to 13, and 10 senior innovators, age 14 through 20, was given the task of exploring, designing, and experimenting on subjects of their interest in the fields of science, technology, engineering, and math. 8 weeks before we met in NFB in Baltimore, Maryland, I had weekly assignments that I had to record in an investigation journal. I decided to use the Evernote app to record audio notes to share to the NFB staff and other innovators. In the first 4 weeks, I investigated about designing a goal ball app for the the iPhone. I wanted the app to have a goal ball game users could play and have the rules and history about goal ball. I wanted to have the link of the 2012 Paralympics in London where goal ball is a national sport. In the investigation, I soon found out that I did not have the necessary skills to write computer code, and it would take more time allowed to make the necessary skills. I went on sciencebuddies.org and did an interest inventory and decided to build a hovercraft based on the result of the inventory. I found that Sir Christopher Cockerell invented hovercrafts in the 1950s. I found a design and instructions online. The hovercraft had a skirt, and some of the air from the skirt goes directly under it to give more air. Hovercrafts are used in water and emergencies. I downloaded the materials list to the NFB so I could, to the staff so I could be able to build when I got to NFB. We drove by car, and they provided our meal. We stayed in dorms on site. We had 3 tries to success. First, we popped the inner tube for the skirt and the design couldn't be lifted to the air. We got to use some talking science equipment, rock climbing even, and we got to sit in the blind challenge car with Mark Riccobono, the driver. The parents had a workshop and all involved eye shields. And Mom thought this was scary. They learned a lot more bunch of cool little things. We went to the innovation fair and we saw different fields. Thank you for letting me talk about Project Innovation.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Another program that the NFB sponsors is a national writing contest. There's a contest for adults and there's a contest for youth of various age brackets. And one of our national winners of the national writing contest was Zach Carr. And Zach is going to talk a little bit about his experience, how he entered the writing contest, and perhaps a few other things about what he wrote about. And so, Zach, would you do you have something to read? Do you need a standing mic or do you need a table? Would you come up to the front then and tell us what you can tell us?
Okay, here, want this mic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Zach Carr. My parents are Bob and Dana Carr. I live in Gillespie, Illinois. I have lived with a visually impairment all my life. I was first diagnosed with a visually impairment since I was 6 months old. My vision diagnosis is cataracts, retinal scarring, and nystagmus, and swelling of the eye. I am here this morning because I won a poetry contest. I entered. My poem is mostly about how I manage my vision impairment and my determination to do my best and not to let my vision impairment get in my way. I am currently in eighth grade and attending my public school. I have never been in a special class due to my impairment. I am a good student, but a class clown. And I have made high honor roll every year. I never put limits or say I can't do something because of my impairment. I participate in many activities such as track and field, soccer, and my best sport, basketball. Even though it is sometimes a challenge to participate in these activities, I give it my all and make the best of every situation. At school, I have used some technology and devices that has helped me succeed in school. I just want to thank everyone who voted for me to win this Award, and I want to thank my parents and siblings for supporting me.
Shelley Myers, are you in the room? How about Chris Mankowski? Are you here? Okay. 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 Registration is open. If you haven't registered, please do register. Your name tag is your meal ticket. So wear your name tags in order to get your meals for the rest of the day. And one other thing I want to announce is, okay, there's a student lunch and there's a parents' lunch. Obviously, if you're a parent, we hope and pray that you will come to the parents' lunch. We'll have some interesting speakers and activities that we hope will be enlightening and fun. But the student lunch will begin actually at 11:30 with some presentations, including introductions by all of our scholarship winners, where they will have a chance to tell you a little bit more about themselves. And I very strongly encourage parents to go to that first hour of the student presentation and listen and learn and network with people, and then we'll move over to another room for the parents' lunch. So be seeing you later today, and thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. We're so glad that you're here.
Now, my turn to be the bad guy. We got to clear this room. Hotel's got turned over. We got to clear this room. We'll be back in here at 9:00.